scripture this morning, book of Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then Ephesians chapter 4. But before we get into any part of the message, let me just make a comment or two. Tonight we're going to be voting on our officers and teachers and all of our workers for the new year. And let me say just a tremendous word of thanks to each and every one of you who has said, yes, I'm willing to serve and serve in this capacity. I started looking through the officers and teachers and all the positions, team kid, the council, executive board, and different ones that you have in your bulletin. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but we have about 70-some names that are listed, and many of you serve in two or three, four different places. And, you know, that's a sign of people that are willing to step up to the plate, and so appreciate your willingness to do that. Second of all, you will not want to miss next Sunday, our time of fellowship, as James has already made mention. You know, one of the things in the early New Testament church that they did, they had a lot of fellowship together. And this, our church picnic, is a wonderful time where we come for morning Sunday school and worship, and then we leave here and go to Laurel Lake Camp. And we just have a good time of being together and fellowshipping and talking and interacting where, you know, we don't have a lot of other opportunities except on certain other occasions. But it's just a time that we as a church family come together and fellowship. So you will not want to miss out. And be sure and bring ample food for you and your family and others as well. And, of course, as already in the bulletin, we will be dismissing our evening service. So do not miss out on that wonderful, wonderful opportunity. You know, the New Testament, they called it koinonia. In other words, that was the use they talk about the fellowship. It was so important for the saints of God to get together. And you and I need that. We need to be together. We need to be together and know each other better and get to learn each other. Well, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans, to the book of 1 Corinthians, and the book of Ephesians. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. When it comes time for your life to have been lived and you stand in the presence of God and He calls you into accountability, what will you have served Him with? Where have you served Him? What will you have done with the gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has given you? Where did you utilize them? In the fellowship of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the truth about it is every single one of us, we've been given a gift by Almighty God. And that's the purpose of this series, so you can locate, lock in, isolate where you have been gifted, and then to employ it, as Paul said, to put it into practice so you can be the servant of God God's called you to be. Sadly, there are so many individuals that are missing out whenever it comes to being the servant of God, God's purpose for them. And so they wonder why there's something still missing in their life. They're empty in some way, and they're trying to plug different things into their life. When in reality, you and I are designed by Almighty God to function for Him. And the Bible makes it very clear that He has gifted us. We've already looked at different gifts, the gift of prophecy, the gift of service, because the Bible makes it clear that you have been given a gift by Almighty God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have been given a gift. Now, you may say, Pastor, you don't know my education. You don't know anything about that. And so, surely not myself. Yes, because God does not leave anybody out to serve Him, to worship Him. And one of the ways you worship God is by employing, putting into practice your God-given gift. And so, this morning, we're going to look at another particular gift, the gift of teaching. And why is it so important for you to locate and lock in on your spiritual gift? Here's what happens. When you locate and lock in on your spiritual gift, there is less frustration in your life, and you're serving where God wants you to serve and how God wants you to serve. You know, there is excitement, there is joy, there is thrill, there is anxious anticipation when you use that God-given gift that God has given us. When you are being gifted to serve, and you serve where God's called you, you make the most of the time that God's given you, and there is a great sense of satisfaction. But if you're serving where you're not supposed to serve or you're not using your gift, you're going to have a frustrated life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live this one God-given life frustrated. Now, yes, there's going to be problems, and I'm not talking about problems in this message, but I'm talking about that sense of frustration and you're just constantly missing out. You have been saved and created by the God of the universe to use your one God-given life for His glory and for His honor. And He's given you a gift, and Paul's talking to the saints in Romans chapter 12. And beginning, let's look at verse 4, and we're going to key in on verse 6. But Paul's talking to the saints, and he's talking to them about their giftedness, how God has gifted them. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And as you look at these verses of Scripture, in 6 and 7, he's talking about different weights and different gifts, and the gift of prophecy, and then the gift of teaching as he comes down to verse 7. Because Paul wants these saints to use their life wisely. Think about it a minute. Those saints have lived and they use their life and they're dead and they're gone and they're with the Lord now. And someday you and I are going to be gone out of this world and we're going to be with the Lord for those of us that know Jesus Christ. And wouldn't it be unwise to use this one God-given life and never really function as God wanted you to function, to never employ your God-given life as God calls you to? Well, the truth about it is God wants you to know your God-given gift. Now, if you can say, I am saved by the grace of God, then this message is for you. Friend, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. You need to come to faith in Jesus Christ, because for you, there is a life that is indescribable, the horror and the terror that's going to await your life if you choose to reject the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There is no words that can put in language. Jesus tried to tell us about the place for an unbeliever, and he used some of the most descriptive adjectives to talk about that world, because he does not want anybody to miss out on an eternity of heaven. I can't imagine living this one life without Jesus Christ and dying and then spending eternity banished from the presence of God. But many are going to do it. Many are going to decide to reject Jesus. If you reject Jesus and you die without Jesus, you will have made that decision. You will have made that decision willfully, intentionally, deliberately, and you must live with the consequences of that decision, not just today, not just tomorrow, but you must live with that decision the rest of eternity. And only God in heaven knows how many people die in a day's time and spend eternity in a Christless hell, in a Christless torment. But for those of us that are saved by the grace of God, the Bible says that God has given you a gift. Now, Paul is talking to the church at Rome, and as he's talking to the church at Rome, he's reminding them they're gifted. He's reminding them that God has gifted them for service, and that's what we're to do with our life. We're to give our lives serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the disciples, they were giving their lives serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're to do with your life. You're not to come on Sunday morning and get a quick fix and you're to go out. You ought to be faithful, regular, devoted servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, because someday you're going to give account of your life. What did you do with your life? What did you do with your gift? You may say, well, Pastor, I just don't have a gift. You'll have to take that up with the Lord, because He said you did. And you see, the thing about it is, when we learn what our gift is, and this morning we're going to look at the gift of teaching, because the Bible says there are different ones of us that are gifted in different ways. And if you never understand your giftedness, then somebody who has a different gift, you may get frustrated at them and you may not understand. For example, a person who has the gift of service, they may not quite understand the person who has the gift of teaching, but the person who has the gift of teaching may not quite understand the person who has the gift of service, because we all have different functions. And in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives enough gifts in the fellowship so it could function properly. Sort of like our body. Imagine for a moment, if you've got one nose, you've got two eyes, you've got two hands. But let's suppose that was reversed. Let's suppose you had two noses and you had one eye. Wouldn't you look a frightful thing? Well, you know, you don't need two noses to smell. You just need one. And God gives you, as in a human body, what you need to function properly. And you can function, you know, your nose helps you out. It can't see anything, but it smells things that, are not visible. So let's look at the gift of teaching this morning, because you need to understand what this gift is and how this is employed, because a person who has the gift of teaching, and I think about Sunday school teachers who teach faithfully and others in church and others who conduct Bible studies and discipleship, a person who has the gift of teaching, what are they like? How do they function? How do they operate? Well, let's look carefully in your copy of the scripture and follow along in these outlines. Because, first of all, a person with a gift of teaching wants the truth to be conveyed at all cost. You see, one of the things, and Luke is a prime example in the New Testament. He wrote a letter to the book of to Theophilus, and he wrote an orderly account of the life of Jesus. And in the very first chapter, you'll find he has a systematic order, and he tells Theophilus, I have investigated these things because here's what I want you to know about the truth, O Theophilus. Why? Because here's the reality. A person who is gifted to teach, they want to convey the truth at all cost. Why? Because the Bible says it's when you know the truth that the truth sets you free. So if a teacher is to teach the truth, then here's what he's going to do. He's going to teach the truth because his motivation is that people be freed to live the one God-given life that God has given them. And I see so many people who are not living the life that God's given them. They're dread. They live in worry. They live in frustration. They live in anxiety. But when a person is gifted to teach, here's what he does. He teaches, and the whole purpose behind the teaching, the whole purpose behind the message, whether it be a teacher, whether it be a pastor, he wants the truth taught. Why? Not to take up time. Listen to me very carefully. It doesn't do a teacher a bit of good to say, well, you know, I taught for 30 minutes. If people didn't grab the point, then it doesn't serve very much importance. Why do they teach? Because they want those that are listening to know the truth. Listen. Think about it a minute. A person just comes in this building this morning. They've never been exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never been exposed to Jesus Christ, the fact that he can forgive them of their sins. They've never been exposed to the message that Jesus loves them. And a teacher, when he finds out they've never heard the truth, you know what he does? He takes deliberate time so that person who may not know a great deal, they can understand the truth. Why? Think about what you're going to look forward to after this life is over because of what you've been taught, because of what you can look forward to. Listen, you can only live in freedom and in victory and in joy based on what you know in your mind. And so one of the things about a teacher is this, you know, they want the message taught at all costs. That's why they're very deliberate. And I think about some of the godly men that I've heard over the years, and one that is systematically teaches the word on a regular basis. And even though he's dead, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, he's been dead for a number of years, one of the best Bible teachers. And then I think about those that continue to live on, Adrian Rogers, though he's dead, he still speaks. And those that are alive, Dr. Charles Stanley, and think of so many others. Why? Because Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching all those who would listen. Why? Because he wanted them to know the truth. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to know the truth. Imagine, let me give you an example. Imagine you're just making it from hand to fist, you know, from you barely have enough money to live on, and you don't know a good friend of yours has deposited $200,000 to your checking account. Well, you're making it, you're making minimum wage, and you barely make $200-$300 a week. And you get your check, statement. Somebody that just loves you, they leave you that money. They've died, maybe gone on to be with the Lord. And they leave that, and it's in your checking statement. Now listen to me real carefully. What if you never opened your statement? What if you never went to the bank, or you never opened your statement, or you never went online, and you never found out they deposited it? One of the things about a teacher is they want you to know the truth. They'll be very deliberate. They'll be very slow. Why? Because just like that person, when he opens that statement and he looks that he's got that much money, wow. I can finally buy me not an old car, I can buy me a good used car now, or something like that. Why? Because knowledge is everything. Listen to me very carefully. Why do you come? Why do you take time? Because a teacher is deliberate about getting out the truth. So not only that, they want the truth conveyed. Second of all, a person with the gift of teaching will present the truth in an organized manner. Now, when it comes to a person who has the gift of teaching, one of the things they're interested in, and they're interested not in just getting out, they want you to learn the truth. And whether it's a pastor, whether it's a teacher, they'll be very deliberate. They give it in an organized manner. And I think about how Luke organized as he wrote and as he penned. Of course, we've got it in chapters and verses. It was not in chapters and verses when Luke wrote to Theophilus. But he systematically studied and learned, and he gave to Theophilus an account of the life of Jesus. And when you learn the truth, listen, a person who has the gift of teaching, if you have the gift of teaching, you want somebody else. Listen, it's not just important to know it. You want somebody else, and you want to present it in an organized manner. And you want to hear it in an organized manner. You know, Luke investigated the facts, and he shared the facts, and he got the facts out. Why? Because it's when you know the facts of the truth. It's when you know the truth. Listen, you can have 1,000 Bibles in your house and not know the truth. It's when you know the truth. That's what a teacher is interested in. Listen, and they can tell when the lights come on. Have you ever been in a classroom and teacher's teaching and all of a sudden the light came on? You remember when you learned your multiplication tables and the light finally came on? Never will forget when I learned mine. Teacher told us, she said, "Now, kids, we're going to take a test." She told us day one test, day two test, day three test. We was to test, and she was going to give us a test over the multiplication tables. Well, needless to say, I didn't get them all the first day. So what did she do? She ran me around again. I had to take the test again. Why? You say, well, that's hard. You know what a teacher's in? Learning the truth. Learning. And you see, Jesus said, when you know the truth sets you free. Who in God's name does not want to live free? Who does not want to enjoy this one God-given life? But sadly, so many individuals just will not and cannot. But a good God-given teacher, you know, they want others to learn. But number three, a person with the gift of teaching will place emphasis on every spoken word. Now, sometimes this can get a little bit irritating, but here's what happens. You know, Luke took ample time to check out all the things about the life of Jesus. He heard the story. He heard the facts. And he said he investigated those facts. He checked them out. And, you know, he compared story with story. He compared different people, what they heard with what this other person, what they were there. And you see, a person with the gift of teaching wants to make sure at all cost what they're saying is true. Listen, it's not just spouting off something. Because here's what's going to happen. Hear me very carefully. Aren't the days going to come, the high tides and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the storms of life, aren't they going to come in every one of our lives? Amen? They're going to come. It doesn't matter if you just know something. That's not the least bit important. You better know the truth. You better sink your heart into the truth, because it is only the truth that will take you through the storms of life. You remember the story in Matthew chapter 7. You know, Jesus talking about two men, they built their house, and he's talking about the way they built their house. One didn't build it on truth. One built it on sand, representing the way they lived and their thinking process. One built their life on sand, sandy thinking and sandy ideas. And the Bible says the winds came, the storms blew, and his house fell. Have you ever wondered why so many people's houses, their lives fall? Because they don't know the truth. Listen, the Bible says about this other man, the winds came, the storms blew, and great was the fall of it. You know what it's like for the storms to come in your life. There's 1,001 things you can never understand and figure out in life. And I'll just give you a personal example. And you've had examples in your own life too. As we buried Charlotte's sister in February, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things I just could not understand about what happened. Here's a precious woman, loves God, loves the Lord, and contracts a serious disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. And in less than 2 years, is with the Lord. And you step back and you think and you look and you ponder. You say, do you ask questions? Yes. Yes, you ask questions. You ask them with an open heart. You ask them with an open spirit. And you sit and you look at somebody who can just barely, seemingly eat or drink, and you think, this person has never hurt a single soul in their life except for that time that she got onto me for hitting a dog. And she really didn't get on to me. We was coming back from vacation. It was jumping on Charlotte, and I had to get it down. And anyway, I swatted at it, and she opened the door, and she said, "I saw you do that." But folks, they're going to come. Your storms, my storms, our storms are going to come. And listen, it's not just important to get a Bible, go to church, open it up, and just sit there and just daydream. Listen, the winds and the storms are going to come in your life. They're going to beat, they're going to blow, and a teacher is concerned about you getting ready for the hard times in life because they're on their way. Jesus said, "Here is the man he built on the rock. He listened. He learned. He allowed himself to grow even when it was not easy or convenient." And sometimes learning is not easy. It's not convenient. Sometimes it's everything you can do. But whenever you sit there and you say, "Lord God, teach me." And you see, that's what happens when it comes to a person who has the gift of teaching. You know why? Because they want everybody else to learn the truth. Because Jesus said they're going to come, they're going to come. Jesus said your hard times are going to come. Yours may not be here. And for some of these that are teenagers, your hard times are not here by any stretch of the imagination. But as you learn and listen and allow yourself to listen to teachers. Did you ever wonder when you was in grade school why? Lord, why grade school? There's a lot of other places that are more fun. In high school and college, because it's important. It's important that you and I learn the truth. Well, not only that, but look at number four. A person with the gift of teaching, they like to research. They like to report the facts. If you'll read through the Gospel of Luke, you'll find that Luke was a deep researcher. And sometimes when I was a boy, I'd go to my dad's study, and he'd be sitting there reading. I thought, why is he taking such time in this? I thought, this is the most boring place in the world. Because I was a kid, I wanted to be out playing football. And he'd be sitting, he'd be reading, he'd be studying. But you see, finding out facts is important. Because you have to learn, you have to be willing to be taught. And when a person is willing to listen to a teacher that teaches the truth, then listen, you're getting ready for the hard times in life. You may be right now getting ready for some storm, and the more you sink in, the more you listen to godly teachers in Sunday school, you're in Sunday school and you think, "I don't want to get up in the morning at 9 o'clock. God didn't ask you if you wanted to get up. Amen? The Bible says you're to be a disciple. And that means God puts people in place to disciple you. Why? Because those difficult times are going to come in. Jesus didn't feel like being crucified, but he did it out of love and out of a free will of his own heart. And you see, whenever it comes to a teacher, one of the things, they like to give facts. And I've sat under a lot of teachers in my lifetime. I've sat under college, seminary. And I've sat under some boring teachers. Don't answer that. But every one of us have sat under a boring teacher. And, you know, they teach and they're excited about something, but they have a hard time relaying it. But you see, when somebody teaches the truth, you can tell when it's grabbed their spirit. You know why? Because they can't wait for you to get hold of it. Because it's revolutionizing. It will change you when you know the truth. And that's why, you know, I see some of these godly teachers on TV, and they're obsessed. Why? Because they want you to know the truth. They want you to learn the truth. And that's one of the characteristics of a godly teacher. They research and they dig and they dig and they research and they find out so that you can know the truth. They like to get into those nuggets, and they can even lose their audience as they get so deep. But they want individuals to learn. Why? Think about it a minute. Suppose God had not given Paul the gift of teaching. God had not given Luke the gift of teaching. God had not given Peter. How many books would you not have in the New Testament? And there have been times in my own life that I've sat and I've listened to a preacher, and there's been something going on in my own life. And I sit where you are, maybe at some type of conference or some meeting, and listen to somebody, and as they say something, just like it hits home. Why? Because God knows where every one of us are in our lives. He knows where you are, and that's why he'll put somebody in your life if you're willing to listen. I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they was going through some real struggles. And I was trying to help him walk through those struggles. And just sharing with him some things out of life. And he said, hold on, would you let me write these down? And he wanted to write them down because he was going through some hard times. He was really hurting. And you see, one of the things about a person who has the gift of teaching, and I think about some of you, you've taught so many years, and maybe in Sunday school, you know, there's nothing more exciting. And I think about some of you that taught for years, and you see one of your students. After 25, 30 years, you're not seeing them, and they're faithful in church. You know what that says? Yes. Yes. Listen, they don't remember everything. They might not even remember a specific message completely or a specific Sunday school lesson. But you know what? It's exciting as they grow and learn and walk in the truth. You know, the excitement is to see them faithful. And you see, person with the gift of teaching, and you're here, if you've got the gift of teaching, if you're going to be obedient to God, you better employ it. Now you say, well, where do I employ it? Where God tells you. One of the ways is through the local church and discipleship that we call Sunday school. And other ways of discipleship. But number five, a person who has the gift of teaching observes principles that aren't detected by others and looks for examples in life. You know, you don't have enough time to make all the mistakes in life. Have you ever noticed people who make mistakes? And just watch what happens. And a wise person, and that's why it's so important. I say this to every one of you. You need to read the Proverbs each month. One proverb a day, you'll read the Proverbs through in a month. And you know what? You'll find yourself wise. You'll make wise decisions. You'll not make unwise decisions. And especially young people, young adults, married. Why? Because, you know, God calls us to walk wisely. And if we're to walk wisely, Solomon is, and it's amazing. As you read Solomon, you just learn. And you see, one of the realities of a godly teacher, you know, they observe principles. I've listened to teachers, and as I listened to them, I thought, I never saw that. One principle that I have found in Deuteronomy 28, and you've heard me mention it down through the years, you just simply obey God and you watch Him bless you. You say, well, now I just don't know if God will bless me. I'm not asking, don't have anything to do with you. You obey God and He will bless you. It always works, never has stopped working. And you see, that's what a teacher does. They love to bring the principles out. Why? Because this is the Word of the living God. Amen? It works 100% every time. Amen? And if I teach this book, if I read this book, I get into this book, it never, never fails. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the words of the Lord are flawless. What that means is you take them to the bank every time, they'll work every time, every situation. And you see, the sad part about it is there are a lot of people who say, well, now you just don't understand my dilemma. No, you just need to understand this is Holy God's Word. And since it's Holy God's Word, it will do what He says, and He will back it up. For example, let me just give you a little life lesson. I'm not going to ask if you tithe. I hope every one of you do, every one of us do. 100% of us should be tithing. If you're not, you need to start. Have you ever noticed that 90% goes a whole lot further than 100% does? How does it do it? I'm going to give you the biblical answer and my own understanding. I don't know. And here's what happens. It's an act of obedience. God always blesses the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the teenager, the young adult that obeys Him. And you see, here's the thing about it. You obey God, He will make it His business to bless you. You say, well, I just don't know about that. He will. Stephanie called us the other day. She finally closed on a house that she and Kaz were, and she had to call Mom and Dad and say what all had happened. And she said, I just got to tell you, she said, you know what? Our monthly payment's not what we thought it was. I said, oh, really? She said, it's less. The next thing she said, I'm just praising God. Why? Because He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to praise Him in all the circumstances of life. But that's one of the things, a person with a gift of teaching, they reveal principles and share principles. Well, number six, a person with a gift of teaching is patient as God works in people's lives and as they change. You know, we're so slow to change because of our human makeup and nature. And one of the things about a teacher, and I look back over teachers I've had in life and how patient they've been with me. Here's the thing about a godly teacher. Now be careful. There are a lot of teachers who get hasted, angry, mad. Well, if you're not going to learn, I give up. But you see, here's what a godly teacher does. They know learning does not come quick. Now, don't you dare answer this, but how many of you have been reading the Bible, maybe even in last week, last month, and as you open it up, you may be 60, 70 years old. I never saw that before. Why? Because God didn't want you to see it before, or it was supposed to be to you right now. Because there is something eternally alive about the Word of the living God. And you see, if patience is involved, there'll be repetition. Let me give you an example. Have you ever read Matthew, Mark, and Luke carefully? Have you ever noticed how they repeat each other? Have you ever read the Psalms and how many times David has repeated himself in verse after verse after verse in those 150 chapters of Psalms? You see, here's the thing about it. One of the things that our Lord knows is it doesn't just take once. Let me give you an example. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but I want to ask you this question. How many of you have been told something one time and it took? Some of you ladies are saying, my husband, that's not his case. You know what God knows about us? That's why we come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, because it's a perpetual learning process. And you see, one of the things about Jesus, he was patient with his disciples. And the thing about a godly teacher, a teacher who is called of God, gifted of God, they're patient. They don't try to get all the truth in one Sunday or in one Wednesday or one Sunday night or whatever the case may be. They're patient. And they live out before others in their own Christian life. Well, you see, and then lastly, a person with the gift of teaching yearns to do a good job. As a matter of fact, in one of the Proverbs, a good teacher, the Bible says, does a good job. Why? Because it's serious what you believe. It is a serious business what you know. I can't tell you the time somebody's come up to me and they said, you know what, I thought since I was a Christian this was not going to happen to my life. Or talking to somebody that's terminal and about ready to die. But it gets serious fast. Friend, every one of us are in a pilgrimage and we're on a journey and we're going to soon leave. The issue is, have I used this one God-given life? And if I am gifted to teach, am I using that to the glory of God? See, Paul says, you know what? We being many are one body. Now, my right hand don't go to war with my left hand. My right eye don't go to war with my left eye. My right foot don't go. They accompany one another. They assist one another in order that this body can be used to the glory of God. Now, listen to me very carefully. I want to help you as you and I both march toward the judgment. Number one, you're marching toward the judgment. There is going to be a time in your life the Lord Jesus calls you and me specifically into His very presence. The Lord Jesus is going to know without any question or equivocation what you have done with your giftedness. And He will know if you was a wise servant or an unwise servant. You see, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 25, Master said to his servant, says, I'm going on a journey, I'll be back. And he left them in charge. And the one with 10 gained more, the one with 5 gained more, the one with 1, and the reference, I believe, is talent. He said, he dug and he hid it. And then the master came. The master called every one of them, one by one, and rewarded them. You'll be rewarded in eternity for what you've done with your giftedness. You may not be rewarded here. You may not even be recognized. You say, well, I want to quit. Nobody ever notices. You're not home yet. It's not payday yet. You see, there will be a time when the Lord Jesus calls you by your name and you stand in His presence and He will know absolutely everything. He will know how very faithful you've been with your gift. Maybe you were misunderstood. Maybe you say, well, my gift was teaching, but I never had more than 3 in a class to teach. The greatest preacher that has ever been out of the 19th century, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the preacher that probably more preachers that I know talk about, he was in a meeting one night. He was the only single young person there. And the preacher said, son, don't you want Jesus? And he literally was used to change England. And he's been a blessing to many preachers. You see, you don't know what those 3 and how they'll raise their families and their children and their grandchildren and what they'll be. That's not your business or mine. Ours is to be faithful. What are you doing with your gift? Dear Father,